Warning, this episode descends into hilarity.
Sorry, can we try that again? I can't do it.
Funny, isn't it? I'm so used to doing this podcast with people that I don't know. It's like, it's weird doing it with you now. I feel like the quality is going to go right down.
This was your decision.
Okay. Hello and welcome back to Pilgrim Pit Stop. This is a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And this is actually the 10th episode of this podcast. And as a special treat for all of you to celebrate this big event, I'm joined by my brother, Thomas Thorogood. Thomas, how are you doing?
Hi. Yeah, I'm well, thanks. How are you?
try and be a bit more enthusiastic. This is That's the 10th episode. This is a big deal.
Hello. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You sound like you've got a gun pointed at your head.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, joyous. So you were actually on the first episode of this delight, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what else is there to say? Yeah, what were we talking about in that? It was just kind of general... following Jesus, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I guess since then, I've been amazed by the amount of different people that I've had the chance to speak to for this podcast. People like Bishop Libby Lane and John Bell and Gemma Hunt and John Mark McMillan. So
It's been incredible, actually.
It's been quite fun.
Yeah, it's been a good encouragement in this house. We slap it on throughout the day. We each listen to it while we're doing our workouts and
what you each listen to it separately.
Yeah, we do actually.
Why don't you just gather as a family and
well, it's not that much of an event. Sorry. we have listened to it together sometimes, but I think there's something quite nice about taking it at your own pace. And you know, we often will listen to a segment and then come back to it another time. And I've actually re-listened to certain interviews that have been particularly resonant with me. So yeah, no, it's been good. Keep it up, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Although people who listen don't really get the treat of that I'm getting now of your face. So I can see your face on the screen, and it's quite something, isn't it? You've really grown that beard and moustache. You've got a kind of Salvador Dali-esque moustache.
The moustache kind of got to the point where it was getting too long on the sides just to be left sort of au natural. So
you sculpted it.
Started sculpting it. Oh, I never thought this day would come.
You know, so when you interview your guests remotely, you do it over computer, right? You know, like Zoom call.
Yeah, Zoom.
So do they see your face to begin with?
They do to begin with, but then I tell them to turn off the video.
Why?
Because the audio quality is slightly better if you turn off the video.
Oh, okay, yeah. Are they ever, like, shocked when they see your face to begin with? Because it's quite kind of mangled.
I think the one person who was slightly shocked, well, I kind of forgot what I was wearing on the day that I was doing this interview, and I was interviewing the Bishop of Derby, Bishop Libby Lane, and she came up on Zoom, and she was wearing her kind of beautiful bishop's robes, purple, you know, big collar, and it was all very sort of formal. And I just realised that I was sat there in a grey hoodie, like an absolute.
You should do it in your dressing gown sometime.
I think that'll be a step too far.
Wow. Yeah. And how's it been? This is good. I get to interview you a bit because normally you're very much asking the questions, but this is a chance to kind of delve into your weird and wonderful existence. So how has the whole podcast experience been? Because this is the first time you've really done a podcast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is all... I'm just learning on the job. It's been fun. I mean, you know, when I set out to do this podcast beginning of this year, the whole idea about it, the reason I called it Pilgrim Pit Stop was because I'm really interested in this idea of pilgrimage and walking and talking. And the idea
what about the idea of pit stops?
I like pit stops as well. I like Formula One, and I have a Vespa, which is why that's kind of the image. Because I was kind of having that idea that pilgrimage can be on a Vespa, it can be on a train.
It can be traditionally walking, but
I guess the whole idea when I set out to do it was going on journeys with people and talking about following Jesus on those journeys. So like the first episode we did was on a beach in Suffolk, wasn't it? And that was really the hope. And then obviously this year hasn't quite gone as any of us have expected. So I've had to adapt it and do lots of interviews remotely, which is good because I've been able to, you know, speak to some really interesting people from around the world. But really my heart for this podcast is I want it to be, you know, going on journeys, going on road trips with people, going on long walks, long hikes, and just talking about following Jesus. So I do hope that that's kind of where it will go in the future. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? So, should we introduce... We've actually got a segment coming up now, which we recorded back in December. I think it was 28th or 29th of December. And we recorded it the day after we recorded that first episode. So it's in Suffolk as well, on a different beach this time. Oh, no, it wasn't on a beach, was it? It was kind of in a...
It was kind of a forest walk. And the fun fact is... Yeah. I don't think it involved a beach, actually. Oh, maybe at the end, but who cares? I mean, but the funny thing is, as a family, the three of us, me and Mum and Dad, yesterday actually went to see our aunt, and we did that same walk. So,
no way.
Little coincidence. Yeah.
Very nice.
But yeah, it feels a long time ago now, doesn't it? We recorded that when the world was normal.
Well, when we hadn't even heard of coronavirus.
Yeah.
COVID-19.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy times. So anyway, this is a conversation we recorded, and really we're talking in this about your favourite Bible book.
Yeah.
do you want to say any more?
We're talking about Jonah, aren't we? I've really butchered this, haven't
let's,
I?
Let's go.
Let's just go straight in, shall we? To a talk by, you know, Michael Ramsden, don't you, Samuel?
Mm.
He's this kind of...
he's an interesting guy, isn't he?
Quite a big dog in Christian circles. So he travels around the world kind of doing outreach talks and things. He's met some pretty big people. And he did a talk about the Book of Jonah, which seemed like quite a weird choice to kind of prepare us for the term ahead. But I thought, why not give it a listen? So he rambled on about the Book of Jonah, and I thought, wow, what a book. And I think it is now my favourite book in the Bible in some ways. Just a very brief synopsis. You've got Jonah, you've got this big city called Nineveh, which has a huge population, and it's kind of quite clear that it has a bad reputation. It's quite a violent city. Jonah's a bit scared of it, but God says, I want to send you there. And Jonah's like, no. So he gets on a ship
to Tarshish, which is in the opposite direction, and he literally flees in the opposite direction, and he thinks he can kind of escape God, escape his calling, I guess. And then God's like, nope. And this big fish sucks him up and transports him in his gullet to the shore, throws him up, and he's forced, literally forced, to go to Nineveh. And he does. He proclaims the Lord in Nineveh. There's a huge revival, loads of people suddenly believing in God, and it's kind of incredible. It's a very kind of very sudden transformation. And but then Jonah isn't happy, and he goes and sulks on somewhere, sort of in the desert, and God sends a tree to grow there and to give him some shade, and Jonah's like and then the tree dies. God sends a worm, and I think the whole point of that, God's basically saying, you know, I am the one that that gives and takes life. Why can't I just convert a whole city of people? And Jonah's getting angry at God for being so merciful. He's like, why have you, all these sort of people who have done terrible things, this huge city, and you've just suddenly brought them to you? Why is it that easy? He's kind of having a go at God for being too merciful, and God's like, why can't I do that? And so I think it's a fascinating kind of situation, wouldn't you agree?
I think it's a good book, and it's a good one. He's a very reluctant prophet, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very sort of reluctant, he's a reluctant missionary, he's a reluctant follower of God, and yet God is able to use him in really powerful ways.
There are key ways in which the story does tie in with our own experience living as Christians today. I think the first one being running from our calling. A lot of people talk about, well, I think our dad even talks about when he got the calling to be a minister to begin with, he kind of ran away from it and he tried to do other stuff. And then he realised that he in a way it was such a strong calling, he couldn't run away from it anymore, and he was glad he didn't. And I think that seems to be a lot of people's experience. They feel that they're being called to do something, and to begin with they are very reluctant, like Jonah, and they kind of immerse themselves in other things and kind of run from it. But then they're like, oh, all right then God,
have your way.
Yeah. And it inevitably it is the best thing they can do. And I guess the other point is at the end, when Jonah's having a go at God for being so merciful, he's like, why have you just suddenly saved all those people? I think we can do that sometimes. If we're at churches, for example, and there's someone in church you don't get along with, it can happen. We try and love everyone, but we're not perfect. And sometimes we just perhaps find people difficult to be around. And we might even find in the back of our minds that we're wishing those people weren't at our church. And what we're doing when we do that, effectively, is saying, if only God could have been a bit less merciful. And that's kind of what Jonah did, I guess.
Yeah.
There are a lot of parallels between Jonah and Jesus, actually, aside from the fact that their names both begin with J, although they probably don't in the original language, so that was a stupid point. If you look through the story of Jonah, so for example, the bit on the boat, and there's a storm, and Jonah sleeps through it, and then suddenly he's woken up, and as a consequence of him sort of falling in the sea, being thrown into the sea, the storm is calmed. And that rings quite a lot of bells, doesn't it? That rings some biblical bells in the back of your mind. So the calming of the storm, when Jonah's inside the big fish, he's gone for 3 days. I think it is 3 days. And, you know, that's quite evocative of Jesus being gone for 3 days after his death on the cross. And then the return, the kind of resurrection, if you will, of Jonah being kind of vomited onto land. It's less glamorous than the return of Jesus, maybe. But he kind of then goes around and brings about this great revival. So there's a lot of parallels, but I guess Jonah represents a much more flawed, you know, Jesus was perfect, whereas Jonah makes all these mistakes along the way, but you see a lot of parallels between his life and Jesus's.
And I love as well that the Bible is filled with people like Jonah who are just deeply, deeply flawed.
Yeah, no, I think exactly.
It's very encouraging for us today.
It is.
And for also, I guess, people who are interested in spirituality, maybe are interested in investigating the Christian faith.
Yeah.
You know, the message of the Bible is not polish up your life and get yourself perfect and then you'll be right with God. It's actually God can use the most broken and contradictory and confused people who don't really know what they're doing.
Come as you are.
Come as you are.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's very encouraging, I think.
Yeah. And another thing is the book of Jonah. People often think of the God of the Old Testament as being a different God, as being very different to God in the New Testament. I guess, obviously, we believe it is the same God. And I think he does act in different ways, perhaps, in the Old Testament. But you do see a lot of his character in the book of Jonah, for example, the way he is so merciful to that the town of Nineveh. That's interesting, isn't it? People would people who say that, you know, a lot of atheists who say that the God of the Old Testament is this kind of destructive maniac, that kind of puts a wanner in the spurks, doesn't it? And also, you just see that God is in complete control. You know, when the lots are cast on the boat to decide who gets thrown, who has to be thrown into the sea, the lot falls on Jonah, and that's clearly the will of God. So God is behind what even seems like a random process. It's kind of our equivalent of throwing a dice nowadays. God is in control of all those events. He's in complete control of the universe. So I think it's the book's a good reminder of the character of God.
Yeah. We are just coming up to a big old puddle in the road.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to the right? Are
you going to brave it?
Or? I think I might brave it.
Oh, he's braving it.
I don't think it's that deep.
Oh, he's regretting it already.
No. It does get deeper.
Yeah.
I feel this is apt for what we've just been talking about.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere that there was a sailor at some point in more recent history who was also stuck in a fish's stomach and survived.
Right.
So, yeah, interesting one. I think the common misconception is that it's a whale. The book doesn't say it's a whale. We've kind of... That's later poetry and stuff.
In the same way that the forbidden fruit in Genesis is often seen as an apple.
Yeah.
But in the Bible, there's no mention of exactly what it is. That's a more recent...
It's Keats, isn't it?
Or I think it's Milton.
Milton,
yeah.
And you know, the reason that it was kind of chosen to be an apple for kind of popular culture.
Why is that?
It's because if you cut open an apple, where the seeds are, it looks like a star. So people thought, ooh, that's a bit supernatural, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah, that's genuinely the reason.
Oh.
And I guess the Nativity as well, like, were there three wise men? Doesn't say, does it?
We just know that there's three gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, two wise men could have carried three gifts. Or 50.
50 would have been a bit crowded.
That would have been quite crowded.
Some would have maybe had to kind of wait outside with the camels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to talk a bit about calling?
Yeah.
On your life? Because that kind of picks up a bit on what you were saying the other day, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think... we're often quite impatient with God, aren't we? And we kind of want to know what our calling is. Some people, it feels like they have a very clear idea of what they want to do. They want to go into mission or go into a completely different career, but feel that God's pushing them towards kind of investment banking as an opportunity to share the gospel, you know?
Absolutely. Well, that can be mission, can't it?
Well, absolutely. So some people have a very clear idea and some people have no idea. So we can often sort of be like a little bit anxious about the future, I think. But yeah, I don't know what my calling is, really. I, you know, I I like film a lot, and it's kind of my aim to become a director, but quite how that will pan out, if it will pan out, I'm not quite sure really. But I guess you've just got to trust, don't you, and not flee from it when you do feel a calling.
When sort of doors start opening.
Yeah,
maybe that's maybe that's a sign that it is something God is calling you into. I think we can, as Christians, we can get a bit, maybe a bit het up as well on the whole calling thing.
That's
we're all called, aren't we, to be salt and light in the world. We're all called to share the love of God with people, both practically and also by sharing the gospel message. And actually, we can do that in a number of different contexts. You know,
we can
do that in the film industry. We can do that in the fashion industry. And actually, all of these different industries and places of work, places of influence, really need that Christian influence, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think often we often think it's about the next stage. We don't often live in the moment, do we? You know, you might have what you consider to be a temporary job, maybe just as an example, as a barista or doing some other job that you think, I'm doing this kind of at the moment, but it's not what I plan to do ultimately. And but you know, you can be like, well, how can God use me now, sort of thing. It's not always like, oh, this is a kind of stopgap. I'm always thinking about the future, what I do next, sort of thing.
Yeah,
you can be you know, it's all,
I think almost there's an obsession with the future, and
there is.
At school, I just remember being constantly asked, you know, what are your career plans?
It's about the next stage,
when
isn't
you
it?
When you leave school, are you going to go to university? And then when you get to university, it's all about what are you going to do when you graduate? Are you going to go into a grad scheme? And then it's kind of, in conversations with people, it's all about, you know, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan?
Yeah.
And I think it can be quite a dangerous way to live, constantly fixated on the future.
Well,
because
that's it.
You're going to miss out on the blessings of the present, aren't you? And you're going to miss out on all of the
opportunities.
All of the opportunities of the mundane and the daily, you know, the daily life stuff that is actually what makes us who we are.
Yeah, because let's say with the school example, let's say you're sitting in a classroom thinking about, well, where does this take me? Where do I go on from here? Sometimes we kind of miss the point, don't we? Like, maybe our question should be, what do we do in this classroom now? How can God use us in this context that we're in at the moment? It's not always about the calling, like where we go on from there. So maybe our question, although it's good to think about the future, I'm not saying we shouldn't plan or consider things, but maybe our question should be, hello, maybe instead of what next, our question should be, what now?
Yeah, that's good.
Although they kind of mean the same thing, don't they? I think you know what I mean, don't you?
I think I do, yeah. I think if you look at Jesus and the way that he was able to... I mean, he's really the master of living in the present, isn't he? Because he's so good at being interrupted. That's what I find amazing about him. He is so alive to the possibility of the here and now.
Yeah.
You know, he's often trying to get away from the crowds, and he's trying to kind of find time to recharge and spend time with his Father in heaven and really be very clear about what his identity is.
Yeah.
Which I think is it's what we should all be doing as Christians, isn't it? Be really spending time in the rest, in the embrace of God.
Yeah.
And then heading out. But then he's also very good at being interrupted, and, you know, people are constantly coming up to him and basically just harassing him and saying, you know, my daughter's ill. Can you do this? Can you do that? And he's very good at just taking the time. So what would you say your take-home message is from the book of Jonah?
Yeah, good one. That's kind of a stock question, isn't it, for a podcast like this? Not that you're generic. I think it's kind of the fact that God is in complete control. God is boss, I think, is the little soundbite I'd attach to it. Just because, Jonah really, you know, God uses him. He's kind of instrumental in the process. But it's really God, isn't it? That's, you know, when you read the story, we kind of have that kind of hindsight. We see that it's God guiding it all the way through. But Jonah often didn't have a clue, and he didn't have a clue that a fish would come and sweep him up. You know, he was kind of in a secure hand all the way through, but at times it didn't feel like it. And I think it's quite similar for us. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem that God is in control. The world can seem quite an uncontrolled place, and I guess it is. It's a broken world, but at the same time, in this kind of tumultuous sea in which we're being tossed, there is a guiding hand or wind that will bring us home.
Oh, I like that. There we go. That was our conversation in Suffolk in pre-coronavirus times. Did you enjoy listening back to that?
It's kind of weird, isn't it? It's. I feel like. Yeah. Sorry, I am the worst person.
Do you need a coffee or something? You seem a bit.
I'm the worst person you could have got on this podcast. Sorry, I can't really think of anything to say.
I do know that you've brought a little special something for me, haven't you?
So obviously I do your little jingles, don't I?
It's not obvious necessarily.
It's not obvious. No, let's start that again. So you requested, so you got is it Johnny Davies to do the theme tune of the podcast? Mm-hmm. And that's great, obviously. But I think you wanted some other little bits and pieces to put in between the interviews and stuff, didn't you? Just to kind of break up the monotony of your show. Sorry, just to kind of transition. I think we just sat down and had a little, because I do kind of music tech stuff for film soundtracks, so you requested a few, so I've been, and it's been very generous of you to credit me at the end of every episode. You don't have to do that. I mean,
okay, I won't
literally
do it
at the end of episode. Okay,
no, I'm joking. I mean, you no, can I'm if genuinely you want, but... I'm very thankful for you doing
that's very kind of me. I mean, it's I enjoy doing it, but yeah, no, literally at the end of every episode, you're like, and thank you to my brother Thomas for the little jingles you've been hearing throughout.
And as it's the 10th episode today, I asked Thomas to do a very special jingle, which I haven't heard yet. I'm about to hear for the first time on this podcast. And basically, this jingle is a bit of a call to arms for people. I'm very bad at the end of the episodes in reminding people to subscribe. That is like the number one rule of podcasting that everyone says is at the end of the episode, at the beginning of the episode, during the episode, tell people to subscribe, tell people to share it with their friends, tell people to leave a review on Apple. And I am dreadful at doing that. I always forget to do it. I think I've mentioned it about 3 times, but I do really want people to subscribe. So this is a jingle telling people to do just that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a listen. And let's... I'm very excited.
I'm quite nervous now, actually.
Okay, here we go. Oh, nice start. Quite sort of European sounding. I feel like I'm in France.
Pilgrim Pit Stop Podcast, yeah. Yeah. Pilgrim Pit Stop Podcast, yeah. Please subscribe, comment, and share. Yeah. Please subscribe, comment, and share.
What is that voice?
It's actually quite disturbing, isn't it?
Yeah. That is horrible. That is absolutely horrible. Oh, wow. Well, thank you for doing that, Thomas. I appreciate
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, I'm a really bad singer, so I had to kind of... I think I recorded myself singing it at a low octave, and then one of them I like raised by an octave and auto-tuned it and stuff, and I also left the low recording in there for good measure.
That is the stuff of nightmares, honestly. That is very, yeah, I'm really very sorry. Disturbing.
I don't know how I could have made it. I think, yeah, whatever comes out of my mind is just slightly twisted and unusable.
Do you want to just fill us in? Are you learning anything about following Jesus? Sorry, that was a really bad segue. But I felt like we had to kind of talk about something a bit more
substantial.
This
is a bit of a train wreck, isn't it?
So, something I've been asking all of the guests who have been coming on during lockdown is whether God's been speaking to them, particularly through any scripture, over the past few weeks. I'm gonna chuck the same question your way.
Yeah, I think it's good you've asked all your guests that question. I think it's good to get kind of multiple angles on it because, clearly everyone is finding encouragements in different parts of the Bible. I think the one that has stuck out for me actually is Psalm 117. You thought I was going to say 23 there, didn't you?
I did.
So Psalm 117 is actually the shortest chapter in the Bible, and it is also the middle chapter of the Bible. So it's pretty special. And it just reads, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And I just thought that's great, isn't it? Because it's right in the middle of the Bible. So there's a lot that comes before that and there's a lot that comes after that. So I kind of think it's particularly relevant at the moment when, you know, we feel like perhaps a lot has happened and a lot is going to happen that's going to be a bit uncertain. But to have that kind of stable kind of pin in the middle and just the reminder that the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever, I think is one of the most helpful reminders I personally have had kind of during this time, that God is faithful, even when we fail to be sometimes. Yeah.
Nice. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's all right, babes.
Beautiful. Oh, brilliant. I don't know whether we want to say anything about our plans for August.
Yeah.
Sort of tee that up, because it's quite exciting, but we don't entirely know if it's going to go ahead. So should we let the listeners know what we're planning for this podcast?
Yeah. Do you want
to? So in August, if we're allowed to, under the, you know, government guidance, Thomas and I are planning to walk the entire width of Scotland. Do you want to say some more?
It's called St. Columba's Way. It's like it's an established pilgrimage route, isn't it? But pilgrimage isn't very common in the UK, is it? You don't really hear about people walking across the UK as part of kind of Christian pilgrimage. So we thought it'd be good to kind of retread this path of old. It's from Iona to St. Andrews, 280 kilometres, I think. Yeah, and we'd have to be wild camping. That's why we're doing it in Scotland, because it's legal to wild camp pretty much anywhere in Scotland. So we'd have to bring a little tent and fire, boots. Yeah.
So if that does happen, we're going to take the recording equipment. You're going to take your camera, aren't you, as well? And we'll document it. So, you know, it'll be on this podcast, and it'll be on your channel as well.
Yeah, it will be an interesting experience.
Great. Well, thank you, Thomas, for your time and your contributions and your jingles and all of your lovely self. Thank you to thank you to Johnny Davies for making the theme music, and
thank you for having me, mate.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for being here. And until next time, I will see you. God bless. Goodbye.
Pilgrim Pitstop Podcast, yeah. Pilgrim Pitstop Podcast, yeah. Please subscribe, comment, and share, yeah. Please subscribe, comment, and share.